Blog Talk Radio.
Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you.
Radio as we bring you the best in grown folks radio. And tonight we are going to bring you just that, as we have our author extraordinaire coming on, and that's Miss Carmen Trashy Diva. I'm going to ask why she calls herself Trashy Diva Jones, but we're going to get there in just a few minutes. But before we do that, we're going to do a little bit of admin here. As you know, we're broadcasting from Kansas City, and it's a little bit of rain going on out there. So y'all, all those that are out there, y'all need to kind of be careful as we go forth in this. But we definitely want to, let you know about the new things that's going on here at Midwest Publishing Group as well. We do have a new book that just came out. It's a paranormal erotica thriller, and it's called The Peculiar Ones, The Plantation at Windsor Ruins. You might as well check it out. It's a lot of erotica in it. I know it sounds like it's something that's scary, but it's only scary if you don't want to touch it, because all the sex is in the book is going to be fabulous, along with vampire biting. So, and it's set back in the slave days, so you might want to check that out. That's that new book by Red Snapper. But right now we got my boy DV. How you doing, man?
Man, what's up, Red?
How's it going down there in the Texas area?
Man, it's hot and terrible. I'm so used to cool weather right about now, but man, today I just feel kind of broke, busted, and disgusted.
Yeah, I know, man. I know how you feel. Because, Kansas City's been getting some crazy weather as well, and I think it's because of the ozone layer or something, because it's been hot, like it don't want to get cold. You know, it's raining today, but it seems like it's trying to, get in the 60s a little bit, and we might even have that for Thanksgiving, which is going to be unusual, because usually it's snowing about now.
Man, who are you telling? It hit 80 today, and I'm like, I need something to cool me down, man. For real.
Wow.
Really, if a hurricane would drop on the city, I'd probably smile. You know, it's just real talk, we ain't had no water. It's always hot, and it's just like, man, I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, well, we'll try to figure it out. We're going to make it hot here in a few minutes because we have our guest, and we're going to bring her in right now. This is Miss Carmen, the Trashy Diva. Is it Book Diva Jones? I know I've been saying it wrong all night. She's going to correct me, right?
You know that's how I was going to start it off.
Well, you know that, but we want you to get on my ass, baby. And just so you know, this is Word Sexy Radio, grown folks radio, so you can say what the fuck you want to, and it won't get bleeped out. How about that?
What, you don't have that 10-second delay on?
No, we don't do that.
Oh, I might cut
so,
up then.
So your fans are going to hear everything. So if you say shit, ass, fuck, whatever you want to say, it's going to come out.
We'll see.
All right, so before we go any further, go ahead and get me for saying your name wrong, and then after that we want you to go ahead and introduce yourself and let people know who you are, even though most may know. We want you to introduce who you are and give us a little background of where you come from and how you got in the literary game.
My name is Carmen Jones, but I'm known as the Trashy Book Diva. I heard you ask about how that happened. Actually, you know, all of us writers started out as readers, and I loved to read when I was a little kid. And after I had gone through all of my books, I was under my parents' bed and found my mother's Harlequin stash. So I'm reading the Harlequin books, and something told me I wasn't supposed to be reading them, so I tried to hide them, and my grandmother caught me with one, and she was like, if you don't put that trashy book down. So when I wrote my first one, it just seemed like a befitting title, Trashy Book Diva.
Wow. You know something, I'm going to let you keep talking, but I got to say this right now, because I know DV's got something to say as well, but Trashy Book and a Harlequin? My goodness, you know, these books that we got out now make Harlequin look
like Disney. Really. The stuff we got out now make Harlequin look like Disney. So.
Yeah,
that's
what I'm saying.
True. But back then, Harlequin was, you know, racy. Ooh. My mother had to hide up under the bed. What does that tell you?
Oh, yeah, well, you know, because they didn't want nobody to know that they was reading such things.
Right,
we got that.
Right,
so.
You couldn't, yeah. So,
all right.
But now, listen,
so
I got to say something to DV. You did
okay.
Not wish a hurricane. You did not wish a hurricane on Texas. Don't you ever do that again.
Wait, what happened?
You can't wish a hurricane on Texas. Don't ever do that again.
Yes, I can. I'll run out naked, man, just to feel the water beating against my flesh. I'll tell you that right now.
So you really want to have something like that happen in Texas?
We had one about three years ago,
Ike. And right. it knocked the city down a bit.
And you had, because I lived through Katrina, so that's why I'm like, no, you know, we can't joke about hurricanes in the South.
What, you remember what happened here in Katrina? Everybody thought it was going to hit Houston, so the whole one side of the freeway was stacked, and people was like, why don't they open up the other side? So, you know, we caught hell.
Well, I went the other way.
You heard what she said. She went the other motherfucking way. Oh, she didn't say motherfucking,
exactly.
No, I'm sorry.
You know what, but listen, you know what they say, when you see a bunch of people running in one direction, run the other way.
Yeah,
so
that's not how black people do it. We see one person running that direction.
Texas, I was like, let me go the other way.
All right.
One black folk running, you running the same direction he running.
Wow. Well, you know something? I understand y'all wanted the weather to be like you used to, but we want to get it hot up in here. So what I'm going to do right now is I'm going to see if we can get Miss Trashy Book Diva to tell us a little bit about her book and give us a title and tell us how you came up with this.
The title is Second Chances, and it's about the second chance at love, getting a second chance at love, which we all need, right?
Is this romance? No, wait a minute. Before we go any further, don't tell me it's just about romance and clean sex and two people and that's it. Now, it's got to be some shit now, right?
Well, look, it's hot, but it's hot.
No,
I'm blowing her butt. I'm sorry. I got to throw you off.
That's another what happened was.
Right, what happened was. Yeah.
Go ahead. I'm just messing with you. Go ahead.
Said it's not hot enough. Okay.
Oh, I didn't say that. Now, I want you to tell us why it's hot. Come on.
Actually, it was my publisher was looking for to do a big novel for Black History Month, but turns out White People Time is not as bad as CP Time, so they didn't put it out in time for Black History Month. But it's set in South Carolina in Gullah Country. They go there, and there is a lot of history mixed in. It's not... The history is not completely factual, as in I didn't use the real people's names, but the stories are true because I looked them up at the Penn Center and did the research on them. So you get a little history, you get a little romance, and you get a happily ever after. You can't beat that. It's a trifecta.
Well, is there somebody getting fucked in the ass, or is there some dick sucking? Well, I mean, tell me more.
Boy, you just
I know that's right. I know it. But see, normally we read the book before you come on the show, and I apologize for not getting that. But you know, we're going to find out if it's in there because, I mean, your publisher, did they let you, how racy did they let you get in the book?
Well, it's an erotic, so, it is what it is. It's grown folks handling grown folks' business.
It's not, okay, let me ask the question again. Is it Harlequin erotic, or is it downright trashy erotic, or is it, you know?
It sounds two people erotic to me.
Well, let's say Harlequin probably wouldn't print it, but there's no menage, I don't like romance without some body count. I see.
Well, I mean, you wanted to come on, and I'm glad that you came, and we definitely want you to come back again. But we just want you to be able to explain the book the way it is, and if it's not real normally like the hot that we know, that's fine, because we know it's erotic. And everybody's erotic status may be a little different than others, and, of course, depending on the publisher that's publishing the book, you know, it depends on how hot it could be. So I understand. I don't know who was your publisher. We're not going to get into that. But
there's also the element of romance. I'm bringing back some old school black love, which, we don't get to read about, and we don't get to see a lot of times. So this is about some real black love.
So it ain't no booty calls, and it ain't no jump balls.
Yeah,
it ain't none of that going on.
It's no booty call. It's a man willing to risk his life for the woman he loves. Now, you know, sisters, that's what we're looking for, a man who will let us be us. And he comes
in and sisters, if you listen, y'all need to call in. The number is 347-215-8539, and this is Word Sexy Radio. And we have Carmen, the Trashy Book Diva Jones, and she's talking about her book, Second Chances.
Oh, you got to commit it to memory now.
Oh, yeah, I got it now. So we want to definitely get y'all to call in so we can ask her some questions and find out why she's the Trashy Book Diva, okay? Now, she said she started out with Harlequin. How deep did you start reading Penthouse or something like that? Or did you get into some Zane or what made you get a little bit more harder?
I did get into Zane in college, and that was you know, look, I went to a Catholic school. We don't talk about that kind of stuff. So.
Wow. Yeah, I got you. Now, what made you decide
like
to go into?
You had to
man,
take notes.
Man.
Well, let me
girls
ask you
do
this
talk about that stuff.
Yeah, they do. Catholic girls are rough. I'm going to tell you. They don't know? Oh,
I'll tell you like this. Red, like, I dated a school full of Catholic girls, and they were some of the nastiest chicks because they got all their imagination. They got nothing else
right
to do because they're around girls all the time. You know?
Right,
so,
right.
Like, hell, like, half the class went gay, if I recall.
Damn. Well, you know, that's probably true. So let me ask you this.
What did you do to those girls, DB?
Okay. I didn't turn them gay, if you were asking me that. At least I hope not. You know, that is my fair hope.
So, do you have references?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Yeah, some people we can call.
What made you decide to choose the genre that you chose to write your first novel? Is this your second novel or your first?
This is the first published one. The second one is coming out. I'm scared to tell you from who. From Kimani at Harlequin. So.
Oh, Kimani.
Oh, that's okay. It's a book deal.
So,
okay. It's okay.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. So you're what made you choose erotica though? Why erotica? Out of all the genres you could have chosen.
I really wanted to talk about black love. I really felt like black women, black relationships, black men have taken a beating in the media. Everybody only wants to talk about the negative. They like to put black men on TV talking about how they don't want black women because they can't get a baby's good hair and all this other nonsense. And the truth of the matter is I think black love is strong and alive. And so I wanted to give people books that would open up a conversation about black love, how we love. And we love strong and hard, and that needs to be talked about.
Okay. So give us an example of, without telling us your book, of a situation where there's some hard black love going on.
And some strong, hard, strong black love.
Yes, yes.
You're going to have to read the book.
See, that's the reason why I don't put questions out prior to interviews, because I put you on the spot, because I want you to bring it.
No,
you want
to give you the Cliff Notes version.
That is not true. I do not want the Cliff Note version. I want the book, but I'm not here to do that. I want you to tell your audience, without telling the book, what is black love. You're talking about black love, and
I just wanted
you to give an example. I'm not talking about what's in the book, but give an example of what is true, hard black love.
From your perspective.
From my perspective, it's being down for each other. Because you're writing about it. I agree. It's being down for each other, 100%. They are. My characters have their back. I think what every woman is looking for in an ideal man, no matter what kind of labels you put on it about his height and how he has to be ambitious and what have you, at the end of the day, what we really want is a man that we can let our hair down and be ourselves with and know that we are still accepted and still loved. And I think what every black man is looking for goes back to Adam and Eve. He's looking for his rib. He wants somebody who's going to support him through the good, the bad, and the ugly. And so that's what my characters do.
Okay. Like, my question is, you know, I think what Red tries to say is, what separates your book from everything that's out there now? What makes you the jewel in the rough? I mean, explain, you know, some of the trials and tribulations of your characters or some of the things that they may have to overcome in order to be together. I mean, being specific, but, you know, take one instance in the book.
Well, there is a stalker after the heroine and trying to kill her. And the hero has to go, goes above and beyond the call of duty, risk his life to save the woman he loves.
Hmm.
But then there's also something about
Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
There's also a conversation about vulnerability. You know, a lot of times you see a woman with a tough exterior. We do things that women can't understand. And as a matter of fact, in this book, it's called Second Chances because first time he offers her love, she basically runs away. So now that she's back and feeling like maybe she can love again, he feels like she owes him an explanation as to why she ran away to begin with. And then she has to give him, she has to be vulnerable and explain to him that in her life she's being abandoned.
I'm still not getting it, though, because to me, that can be in any relationship, and not just black. I want to know the black version of that. What is the black thing? What makes it average American?
No.
Red version. Throw some anal in there. That makes it black.
Miss Cotton is going to help you. Miss Cotton, how you doing? Miss Cotton, let me tell you, Carmen Jones needs some help from another woman because we are on her right now. So what you got to say? Come on with it, because I'm going to tell you right now, Red and DV is on her. She says she wrote a book, and it's about black love and the strongness of it, and I'm trying to get her to explain it, and guess what? She's falling. Give her some help.
I'm lost. I have no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah, Stevie, bring her up. Bring her up. I'll tell you what. Carmen, my girl, baby, sweetheart, bring her to up to date. This is Miss Cotton. She's an author as well, and she's this soft-spoken poet. And she is going to be helping you in your quest to convince us about black love from your book, Second Choices, or Second Chances. I'm sorry, baby. Go ahead.
Oh, Ms. Cotton, we're talking about black relationships, and I was saying that black relationships are under attack from the media. I think that there is this perception that somehow now black men don't want us, and my book deals with what black relationships deal with and the fact that black men do love us, that we are loved.
And I believe you, and she is right, but I just want you to give me an example of a case where it's different from any kind.
I just explained to you about the vulnerability.
Yes, she did.
That it's not different, but I disagree because it's a sad, but true fact that the vulnerability she feels, the abandonment she feels, comes from the fact that her father walked out on her. So now she had a distrust of men, and that's something that black women can relate to in general.
Okay, so but the example I heard, and maybe I didn't hear it all, and I'm not dogging you. I'm just saying. You were saying that the heroine was involved with somebody stalking her, and you're saying that he was showing his love by keeping her from being, you know, taken in by this stalker. So my thing is that's not just black. That can be any
right,
you know,
but
any,
then you asked me to go deep,
but that's the
so I did
that's...
go deep.
Okay, you went deep. All right, okay. All right, well, I'm sorry. I didn't get it. I must be lacking today, but it's okay. Because I want you, I think you know your book, and I just wanted to just kind of just bring it up.
But see, remember, being the first, you know, even though she's written other books, kind of explaining your book the first time around is the hardest thing on planet Earth to do, you know. So, I mean, I understand what you're saying because we've all been through that point where we had to talk about our book. It's like, okay, you know, breathe, and you give the synopsis, but... You know, sometimes you have to look in the mirror and practice, you know, your sales pitch on what's going to grab people. Right now, what you're kind of trying to tell her is you're not grabbed, you know, because of, you know, her sales pitch, which is understandable. But I understand completely what she's saying because I've been in that. You know, I've had to try to explain my books. It's like maybe what I'm saying is not the way I'm saying it, but I understand completely what she's saying about her novel.
Okay, and I got that too. But my thing is, and what we're going to do now, since we're going to kind of talk about the book, but we don't want to talk about the book and put out the information because we want people to read, and we definitely want them to get this book. But what I'm going to do now, if it's all right with you, Miss Carmen, if we can kind of talk about that situation, because that's what we do here. A lot of times we bring authors on that have certain subjects. And we like to talk about those subjects and also maybe get some callers, if they're calling in, to kind of, ask questions on the subject. Since you talk about black love and you say it's missing in the media, and your books definitely, I'm sure, are going to bring that back, to help bring that back. What do we have to do as a people to be able to show that black love is real and that's not just about us going on booty calls and all this stuff? Well, how do we fix that?
I think that we have to have a dialogue. Like, the media only wants to talk about what the media wants to talk about. They're good for shutting us out of mainstream media. They So our message has to come somewhere else, and it's coming through our books and through YouTube channels. And now that we have blogs and you can get followers and tweet about it, because I don't think it's a conversation they want to have. It doesn't serve me.
Right.
It doesn't serve me.
And getting back to what DV was saying, what makes yours different from the others? Because, you know, the competition you have out there right now, we all have, is urban fiction books and different types of genres that are talking about these things that you're saying is not being done. I mean, the urban fiction machine right now is thriving right now, because everybody wants to read about these drug dealers and all these different things that's going on, because it's more close to their life of what they see on the street. So I'm not saying that they don't have black love in their books, but what I'm saying is how do we get that true black love that you have? And I know we can. I know that the black love that you're showing in your books is genuine and strong. And I'm just saying, I guess we can talk about that. Ms. Cotton, how can we? What would you do? I mean, I know you do it in poetry. How do you? How do we fix this in all of our genres of what we write in?
What do you mean, as far as people misinterpreting it, or?
Yeah, because we want to get the right interpretation. That's what she's doing with her book. She's bringing
really,
the right.
You can't because, and the reason I say that is because every person has their own perception of what they're reading. Just like with the Bible, people have their own perception of what they're reading, and it may have a different effect on somebody else's life. Like, if I've never been through anything and I'm reading this love story and I've never been in love, then it's going to have a different effect on me than it would somebody who's been in love and maybe had their heart broken. So it just each time somebody reads it, like when I write and people say, you know, I got this, like, you got that out of that? Really? Oh, okay. I hope it made you feel good, but, you know. But that's not how I wrote it. But it just depends on that individual person, what they're going through emotionally at that time that makes them see it that way.
But I think that's the thing, though. That leads to dialogue, because if you see it this way because of what you've been through, and I see it some way, another way because of what I've been through, we discuss those things, and now I have a different perspective on it. I can see you can teach me something that I didn't know.
Right, exactly.
Okay. All right, Dee Dee.
Look, you know, I've been on many occasions accused of thinking like a man. And, you know, 99%.
Well, you are a man.
I'm a man.
Are you a man? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I was ready to say, DV, are you a man? Yeah. All right.
My philosophy is this. Life is what it is. Yeah? And all of our perception, our realities, how we perceive things is how they will be. You know, regardless of what other people tell you, is completely different than what you see. But the one thing we all have in common is we've all been through it. We've all made mistakes. We've all done something wrong. That's inescapable. You can't get away from that. So if you can't get away from it, my philosophy is learn from it and move on. If you sit up there and latch on to something that you can't change, it inevitably drags you down. So, I mean, a dialogue is great. That's the beginning of it. But until you change people's perception of what being a relationship really is, not every relationship is guaranteed to make it, you're going to fall into the same pitfalls. People are going to be who they are. They're going to do the things that they do. So I think what we really need to do is, you know, look at love for what it is. You know, something that is to be cherished, and when it's not there anymore, learn from your mistakes. Learn what makes you a better person. Learn what you don't want in the next partner that you're with, and move on. Stop lamenting over something that, you know, quite frankly, is just a small part of your existence. You know, and that's just how I feel about it.
Wow. That's deep. Profound. Okay, now, let me ask you this, Carmen, because you started writing these books because you felt like the black love was missing. And I agree with you totally. Now, there's a lot of books out there. There's a lot of erotica. There's a lot of different things. Do you think that the books that are being put out right now, as far as like erotic and stuff like that, does it betray the black love? I mean, is it because it's more about the sexual experience, or what do you think?
I think there's a fine line to be walked. But some of the, I guess where I feel my books are different is that there is a complete development of the relationship. To me, a good relationship includes great sex. So there's going to be great sex. There's also the development of the relationship. They learn about each other. They learn. learn to trust each other and be vulnerable with each other, which leads to a deepening understanding of themselves, the relationship, and sex.
So my understanding would be then in your character development, when you developed your characters, you made sure that there was a strong development in the relationship between the two. Even though there was strong sex, you still showed a lot with your characters as far as how they intertwine with each other and whatever experience that they had is going along with the sex?
Right, and the experiences make them grow as people. Because I agree with what DV was saying, but I think a lot of times when a relationship ends or when it's not going well, it's so easy for us to point at our partner and say, you didn't give me this or you're not doing this. And we never really look at ourselves. You have to get out of your own way, and sometimes we don't do that. So, yeah,
I'm developing
a relationship.
Okay. So do you think that you bring more of that in your books versus what you've read in the past of different other authors?
Yes.
Okay. Well, we definitely have to get a copy of that book so I can, because normally, like I said, normally I have books, I usually read the book before the author comes on so I can have more insight to talk to them about it. But I don't like to talk about the book too much because I don't want the author's hard work to be spoiled on a radio show. We want the people to go out and read the book and give their own opinion and give their reviews of it. So that's the reason why we kind of talk about other things that may be pertaining to what your book was based on. So that's the reason why we're talking about relationships.
I'm enjoying this conversation because normally I have relationship conversations with my girlfriends. It's good to hear male perspective on it.
Yeah. Well, Cotton is being very quiet back there. Are you going to say something today? Are you going to say something today?
I was really listening, you know. I didn't get a chance to talk about the relationship thing because I missed that. I didn't get, you know.
Well, let's talk about that now. Because we basically didn't pass it. You didn't miss anything. Basically, what we were just getting into as you was coming in, and that's why I brought you in the way I did, is because we were trying to talk about relationships. We're not really going in her book talking about the actual characters, but maybe we can go into relationships of fictitious people that we know or somebody we might know. We don't want to say their names because, you know, we hope they're not listening, but if they are, then, you know, we don't want to put them out, you know what I'm saying? So
I do.
But, I mean, how do we fix that? Okay, since Black Love is not being shown, I know I asked this question already, but there's got to be ways that we can bring true Black love like it used to be without making it old-fashioned back into the spectrum. So what do we do?
I mean, there's a lot of it starts with actually setting examples of it. And nowadays you only see the examples being set on TV, and sometimes they're not even good examples. You know, it's just it's not being displayed in the households. And, you know, like I was telling my daughter the other day, I said, now they're showing this commercial about lubricant. And there's an Asian couple sitting in the bed, and they're talking about lubricant. Nobody's talking about marriage. Nobody's talking about having a good relationship. They're just talking about getting down and getting busy because that's all anybody's really interested in these days. I don't even know your last name, but I want to stick my pee-pee in your vagina and hope that I get some 15 minutes of pleasure, you know, maybe, okay.
But they're selling a product, though.
Maybe
that's not a good example, though.
But that's how it is in life. You know that's how it is. You know that's how it is.
I'm fucking like that? I don't think so. Because if that shit happened to me, I'm just saying.
Okay, I would never ask no girl to stick my dog cotton in her
vagina. Now, think about this.
Cotton, use that example.
Red and I have had some conversations. Now, Red. The women that before you got into your relationship you're in now, the women that you were seeing thought that the only thing you wanted from them was what?
They all still think that you just want sex.
Exactly. That's my point.
But first of all,
nobody cares about the relationship part of it. They're more focused on the sex aspect of it, as though real love does no longer exist.
But the example you used was a little off because the commercial is selling what? You're selling goddamn condoms.
Wait a minute, hold it, ladies.
Now look, I understand, and I'm gonna let y'all both say what y'all gotta say. But the thing is the commercial was talking about selling a lubricant, so all the
forget
love parts supposedly
was. My point
was,
nobody wants to talk about the love aspect of it. You can still sell a damn lubricant and then say, hey, but in the aspect of that, these people have a relationship. However you want to do it, the media has a way of making it look good. You can still sell condoms and then in that instance say that this is a real couple. This is a real couple with a real relationship, and the reason why they're in this bed together is because they're in a loving relationship. I don't care how they do it, but what the example that you're setting for the younger people is that, oh, well, I can just get some damn lubricant and just be promiscuous. It don't even matter because the commercial says just like selling cigarettes and liquor and anything else.
Okay,
well, let me ask you this, and then the DB, you can say something. What about the Cialis commercial? You know, since we're talking commercials and how they portray it out in the media, you see these people, most of the time they look like they're a couple that's been together, they're older, because, of course, they want to make, like, the only people that has erectile dysfunction problems is men that's over 40. So they make sure that the couple is old and they're walking around looking at each other wishing they can fuck, but until they got Cialis, they wasn't having shit. So is that different? Does that show love? Or is that selling a product?
I mean,
each of those commercials doesn't show that these people weren't in a relationship before. It just talks about them having the product. You see what I'm saying?
I'm going to disagree with you, though, and here's why. If you look at the Cialis commercials that you were talking about, they always show the man squeezing the woman's shoulder, and when he does, there is a wedding band on his finger. Now, it leaves you at least with the implication that that's his wife, although I guess it could be his mistress, but it leaves you with the impression that that's his wife. There's some tenderness there, right? I mean, there's more tenderness there than just watching two people ass naked in a bed.
Okay, now, what upsets me more than anything about this whole conversation is that it's life imitating art imitating life. We're looking at the media to depict black relationships as positive when that is not their job. Their job is to entertain. There was once this thing called oral tradition, and oral tradition is me, you know, telling their kids about what it is to be in a relationship. Because we listened to our grandparents. There was a time where we listened to our grandparents and we listened to our great-grandparents about what love is and how to love a man and how to love a woman. And that's what we took out into the world. Nowadays, we do the exact opposite. We listen not to the people who know about it. We listen to the TV who tells us, no, there's no black love out there, and watch us show you. And that's what we pay attention to and have no idea that that's not real life. This is what they want you to see. And as long as they let you watch it, you're going to believe it. And if you believe it, you're going to preach it. If you preach it, that's what they're going to learn.
I just gave y'all a good example of misinterpretation, of how people can misinterpret what I just said. Period. See, I used a commercial as an example. It wasn't supposed to be the topic of us using the media. My point was is that it's not being shown in households. It's not being shown on TV. It's not being shown in the real world, period, about any kind of love. And I see it on a regular basis. But every one of y'all found a reason to use the media as an example. I just said,
because that's
you have an example of real life, like even in your own life. That's why I asked you, Red. Now, see, I even use Red as an example of all the women that he knows. Each one of those women that before he got into his relationship that he was trying to talk to on a serious note, thought the only reason why he wanted to kick it with them was to have sex. I used him as an example, and nobody touched based on the real life. That's a real life situation right there. I know even in my own life, the men that are constantly trying to get at me, they're only trying to talk to me because they want to fuck. I don't want to deal with that. Nobody's interested in having a real love relationship. Anyone, I've had men say that to me. I'm not interested in having a relationship, but you want to fuck.
But you know why,
you know,
and I'm glad you used that example.
Pleasure has become more important than commitment.
And we all know that we've become a microwave society. What I can get right now is more important than what's down the road. Who cares if, you know, I only work a little right now, but, you know, retirement's looming, and you got a bunch of people still working at 65, 70, 75 because they never paid attention to the things that they did when they were 25, you know, 25 and 30. So we've become that society where we're thinking instant, you know, whatever, instant sex, instant love, instant gratification is better than anything delayed. And until we get out of that mindset, we always gonna think with that mindset.
And since you used me as an example, which was, I think, a good one.
Yeah, boy, you got your head.
The reason why I said that, I'm going back to that is because for the simple fact that, you know, you said that all the women that I told you that wanted to get with me is because they thought about sex. Well, the reason why is because, first of all, they are, I guess, I ain't going to say they're all groupies, but they're, you know, there are groupies in, with authors just like there are in other, you know, professions. Now, most of these people thought that, you know, if they was going to have sex with me, they thought they was going to end up in a book because I write erotica, or they want to, or they didn't want to have sex with me because they thought they was going to end up in a book. But see, that's because they didn't know me as a person. So I guess that's what you're saying in this. You know, people, the first thing that comes to their mind is sex because that's what what they're seeing. I'm hearing everything that everybody's saying. So, is that the example that you're trying to set with that, or is it just that people just want to fuck and they don't care about love?
Right, exactly. That's my point, is that people don't care about it. Just like you, I know DV probably get hit up by people, the same type of people at times, but I think DV is different because DV probably likes that.
Carmen, are you married, Miss Carmen?
I like how y'all
Miss Carmen, are you married, Miss Carmen? I'm asking a question, I'm sorry. Are you married, Miss Carmen? Do you have the issue with people bothering you because of what you write?
Not because of what I write. My attitude stems from something different.
She says not because of what she writes.
You're just fine.
Like
you're just
that.
Fine. You're just fine.
Like,
okay, I get
you. I get mine here.
So are you married?
Like,
are you married, though?
I'm not.
Okay.
I agree with her. It's become a thing where it's like now when guys approach me, I just kind of roll my eyes because I don't want to hear the same.
You know, because
whatever.
Y'all been approached by men since
and
y'all were like 12.
So
now it's a headache.
Yeah, it's true, yeah.
Now it's a headache. It's like, it's an annoying.
Well, we
yeah.
Did you say they've been approached by men since they were 12?
Damn. I guess when you're old enough to bleed,
man,
you're old enough
to
bleed, right?
Is that what it means? Man, look,
yeah,
I drive right by high school every day. Have you seen these girls? I'm like, they not 12, man, please.
We didn't like it then. Back then, we were rolling our eyes for a different reason, damn pervert.
Trying
to get at me and I'm only
12.
No, exactly.
Nowadays,
you know I feel bad, Cotton, because
y'all was wearing Amish dresses compared to what they wearing now. You know what I'm saying?
You know, but Ralph, say this, when you're a young woman and like I mentor girls because I've been there. I developed much earlier than the rest of my classmates. So I had a grown woman body 12. And so, I mean, 21-year-old, unfortunately for me, I had a father. So, who was
I'm just listening
like,
to what she's
know,
saying.
But, yeah,
and imagine
you end
no,
up
not.
Feeling very aggressive.
I'm sorry.
Look,
Carmen, go ahead, girl.
Go ahead, Carmen.
So you just end up feeling very objectified. So it does. It gets to the point where now I'm just like, I'm with Cotton. I'm like, please don't talk to me. Like, I look down at my shoes. I don't even like making eye contact with men anymore because that has become like an opening line for them. I'm like, I'm trying
eye
to
contact,
look at the menu,
yeah.
Sir. I wasn't looking at you.
Because, you know, as a man, you constantly deal with rejection and eye contact. Constant eye contact is a sign that you may not have to deal with another rejection. So yeah,
don't look
at a man eye to eye.
You know what I had to tell some of my friends, and this is part of the reason why men have a rejection because you get rejection because you get it more than we do as women.
What do you mean
because
more than
always
we do?
You get it more than we do.
So have you ever walked up to a man and he was like, no, I'm good?
That's what I'm saying. Y'all get it more than we do.
I've never
like,
done it, but I've seen it done. There's some guys who be filling themselves, and they just be like, no. I can count on one hand how many times I was rejected today. All right, y'all can probably count on one hand how many times y'all seen rejection in your life.
See, that's my point. That's where I was going with it. The reason why.
See, but Cotton, you already messed me up today.
The reason why, me personally, I've never gotten rejected, and the reason why, and as I tell my friends, is because you go in expecting something. If you don't go in expecting anything, maybe, you know, but to merely make another person's day, if you take yourself out of the equation, you will never feel rejected because what you've just done, I don't care if it's so much as a simple hello to a woman, if she doesn't say anything back, that's her bad. And that's how you should look at it. But men feel rejected because they're expecting this other person to give them something in return.
Maybe
I don't go in. I never go in like that because you'll always be disappointed if you don't. I've walked up to men
myself.
I'll walk up to men and tell him he looks good. If he never says anything to me, then I'm not feeling bad because I just made his day. See, I am me. I made his day.
That's what we
call. Damn, Cotton, wait a minute. Hey, hold it. Before we go any further. Let me say this, DV. Hold on. I know you got to.
All right, go ahead.
Go ahead and say your point. Go ahead and say your
point
because I got
to
say
it. No, say what you got to say. I'm about to woosah. You're about to woosah.
Okay, you going to woosah because I'm going to say this. Cotton, what the fuck you went through today? Because you as hard as a motherfucker on us today. What the hell is going on with you, goddammit? Are you pissed off because you dogged me and now you're dogging us both?
I didn't dog
Carmen,
you got
a good friend today. She's just going off on us today and shit. This is on Word Sexy Radio, and y'all need to call in. The number is 347-215-8539, and we talking grown folks shit on this radio station this evening. All right, Cotton, what's going on with you? What happened? Did somebody do something to you today?
No, nobody's done anything to me. I'm just telling the truth. I've watched my female friends sit at the table at a bar with me and say to me, well, if he ain't going to come over and say nothing to me, I'm not going to say, girl, what do you mean? You going to wait for this man that you think is so freaking fine to walk over to you and say something when he's probably feeling like he can't say something because you're going to reject him and you're hoping he's going to buy you a drink. Hell no, get your ass up, go over there and say, hey, how you doing? My name is such and such.
And you heard it here on Word Sexy Radio. She said that shit.
You know what?
Y'all need to get your ass up and go over there and say something to the man. You ain't a hoe if you do that.
There's a lot of women, you know, there's a lot of women who just don't know what rejection, they don't want to experience the rejection on an intimate level like meeting people. So sometimes they just develop an indifference. Well, if he ain't, then I'm ain't. You know, if he don't come up to me, then
I
don't care about him.
I like that. I'm
right. You know, I went country on that one. I went country as hell. But,
I mean.
But, yeah. But that's how it is.
I think there's some training that goes into it, too. I was taught, my mother told me, and her
good girls don't approach men.
Well, no, not even good girls don't approach men. You ain't got to hit on no man. You ain't ugly.
Well, we got to remember, this is a different genre. This is a different era, too, now.
Yeah,
just remember, it's a different era, too, now.
Yeah.
This is the damn burning bra era.
Completely different.
But I still, I don't approach men. And that was
probably
part of the reason. It's because in my mind, there is the whole men give chase and women get caught.
But they also said that kissing a boy would make you pregnant. You know, so I mean, there's certain things.
But you know what? You know what, Miss Carmen? What I found is that when I walk over into, like, if I saw DV in the club and I'm like, hey, you know, I like that hat you got on. 9 times out of 10, what it does is because he was probably afraid to say something to me as a woman.
It opens
the dialogue for him to say, hey, how you doing? Can I buy you a drink? Or what's your number?
Bitch, I don't want to fuck with you. You ugly. Yeah.
No, he ain't about to say that. I say that right now. He ain't about to say that.
He's going to be like, damn, you know something? That's what he going to say. He's going to say, damn, that's some pussy. I don't care. She might not look good, but fuck it.
But see,
right,
and that's
how
I.
Yeah, even if he's not interested, even if chances are DV's one of those people, or any man, if he says you, if he's not really interested in you, he's going to turn to you and say, "How you doing? You look good too, Miss Lady." And you can go on about your business, go sit back down at your table, or do whatever it is that you're doing. Nobody lost out. He got a woman to give him a compliment, and vice versa.
Why is DV getting all the goddamn play this evening? Ain't nobody said Red Snapper in the club.
Because if Red Snapper
the hell is going
on?
I'm just getting rejected.
Red Snapper in the club, he the creepy dude.
You're cut by your woman. We don't want to get cut by your woman. We good. I ain't trying to get no hair. Is that what it is? Is that what it is? Is that what it is? Look, if you in a club with people our age, you the creepy dude.
I'm the creepy dude. I don't want to be the old man in the club, though.
That's what I'm saying.
Am I the old man in the club? I don't want to be that motherfucker. No. I'm not the old man in the club. No. Okay.
I did not know how to stay in our lane. We'll drive in other people's lane.
Okay. So what is it? So what is the verdict on this? Let's before we go any further, what is the verdict? Do you go up to does the woman go up to a man and say something, or does she not?
I think it could be either way. A man can do it. Sometimes a woman can. But I think with the way that women are nowadays, where they, you know, I don't need you to open my door for me. I'm an independent kind of woman. So if you are, don't be sitting around at the table waiting for some man to buy you a drink. If you're that independent, buy your own, pay for your own dinner. You know, go on up to him and say, "Hey, how you doing?" and keep it moving. You know, there's no reason not to make him feel like he is just as important as your ass. And sometimes it's okay for you to buy him a drink. Sometimes it's okay for you to take him to dinner. Sometimes it's okay for you to do something different. The one thing that you know another woman probably ain't did for him was buy him a drink. Buy him a drink and go sit down. Don't think nothing else.
I know that's right.
You know
that's
what I'm
saying? That's right.
And that is the biggest turn on. You know, and but not like I'm going, you know, she bought me a drink, I'm about to fuck her brains out. No, it's nothing like that. It's just kind of like, you know, it surprises you. It's like sometimes, like every now and then, I'll get flowers, and it surprises the hell out of me. You know, but it's welcome.
It's the same compliment.
Because,
it's you all getting compliments.
Right, it's a compliment.
It's like we like getting compliments, right, you all.
Exactly.
But, you know,
and we want to hear what the audience thinks. We definitely want to hear what the audience thinks. So look, 347-215-8539, this is Word Sexy Radio, and this conversation is really going good, and we want you all to get involved. So just call in or get on the chat. The chat's open this evening as well. So if you want to ask your questions without being online, you can go on to Word Sexy Radio's chat room and ask your question, and we'll make sure it gets on. So, but, yeah, I mean, I agree with you both. Well, everybody here. Sometimes it is good I feel good if a woman buys me a drink or something. And it doesn't mean that just because she bought you a drink that she's wanting some, or if I buy you a drink that I want some. It don't always mean that, but people get this wrong perception that if he buys a drink, he got to hang with you the rest of the evening. A lot of times I tell women, I buy him a drink. I say, look, I'm buying this because I just feel like I want to buy you a drink. It's okay. You ain't got to worry about me hanging around your ass the rest of the night unless you want to hang out. That's fine. But, you know, it's not even about that. I just wanted to buy you a drink. Is that okay? You know, because sometimes people get the wrong damn idea because of what they think. And it's not even true. And I agree with you, Cotton. What's wrong with a woman going up and buying a man a drink or saying something to the man? If she's going to be this damn independent person that they said, burning bras and all this shit,
women
she needs
are
to go ahead and buy a man a drink or don't buy him a drink.
Alone. Yeah.
Exactly. You know, and you know, just do it. It doesn't mean that if you buy him one, that he's going to follow you. But that's a chance you take, because you can do that for a woman, and she might follow your ass around. It just depends.
Women are notorious cheap. All right, if they gonna buy you a drink, it's gonna be some water. All right. You know, they're like, let me get this brother some water. He was thirsty. All right.
Damn.
But no.
Okay. Look, just so y'all know,
women like to hold on to their money.
Okay, this is another subject.
Except when it's shopping.
This is another topic. Okay. And just so you know, Carmen, the show has been extended because Word Sexy Radio is liking what we're talking about. We extended it out to 120 minutes now, so we got an hour and 4 minutes for this. So we're going to be talking shit. So hopefully you can handle that, because that's what we're going to do.
Yeah,
third
I think
person.
This is a great panel. Like I said, this is a great panel. We're getting men's perspective, women's perspective. All of us are from different walks of life, but still, you know, in the same place. So I think that's great.
Well, you know, that's what we want to do.
Sexy in third person.
Like, word sexy advice is coming. Right. The word sexy is going to be on for another hour.
Well, you know, that's what I do. I write in third person as well. But, you know, that's just the way it goes. But, you know, we do.
Word sexy,
yeah, well, we do.
Right now. Word sexy is going to be a snack.
And word sexy wants to get some. Okay. But what we're going to do is... Well, we don't do that, Simon says, but we could if y'all want to, because, you know, everybody would be out there. We can't see what's going on, so we can't do that. But we do want to get more into this relationship thing, because a lot of times, you know, people get the wrong perception, and I think that it's very important what you're doing by bringing black love to the forefront and bringing it back where people can actually really realize what it is, because I think a lot of people don't know what it is. So what is black love? Because, like you said, the misconception is we go out here and get a booty call, we get us a side piece or whatever we want to do and be with our wives or whoever we with and fuck around or whatever. And what is black love? I know we're not quiet. Cotton, where you at?
I'm right here. You know, I'm right here.
So, baby, bring it. Bring it. Since you got that wild hair up your ass today, bring that. I want to hear what's going on with black love, baby. Yeah. Did you get my text I sent you earlier? Matter of fact, since we talking shit, you get that picture I sent you?
Yes,
anyway.
Sir, I did.
All right, we'll leave that alone. We'll leave it. It was ugly. I know you didn't like it. But anyway.
It was.
Right, so,
I texted you back.
You did. You said, what'd you say, cute?
No, I said
some shit like that. Nice. Some shit, you know, something that was...
Because I was doing something at the time, so I didn't want to ignore you. But he was looking, you know, since we brought the picture up, Red was looking real hot in this picture, okay? And I'm just going to say this. Red, about a year ago, was a little bit heavier than he is right now. And so he's
lost Red was
weight,
almost 300 pounds.
Like 100 pounds.
You know, he looking
Red
all
lost
sexy
100 pounds.
And slender. And so when I saw him just a few months ago, was it back in October, as a matter of fact, he was looking even better.
Right.
He's sitting at the table with me and my aunts and all those, just table full of women, and he was having a field day.
And I didn't want to leave, but I had to go to a party.
He,
but anyway.
Yeah, he did not want DV. He didn't tell you about Miss Lorraine. Then when she walked in the room, he didn't know what to do.
Lorraine.
She's my cousin. And now that's all he can remember. It's Miss Lorraine. What is Miss Lorraine doing? Because my cousin is like 5'9", but she had on some heels. She had on like some 4-inch heels, which made her look taller. And she's very shapely.
Right. Curvy.
Brother, let me tell you something about this woman's body. I don't even know if I want to say this. She's a motherfucking goddess, okay? I mean, the Amazon of Amazons. I would have licked her up and down all around in every kind of way that could be possibly done.
Lorraine, I hope you're not listening. I'm sorry, cousin.
Because I'm going to tell you, she was fine as hell. But anyway, let's get off of me, and let's get back on our guest. Because, Carmen, we want you to definitely bring your perspective of black love. I know you kind of talked about it a little bit, but what is a good example if you were in a relationship of with black love? I know you were talking about being there, ride or die, and all this stuff. But I think just so everybody can get an idea of what it is, what is your ideal of that?
You are the crazy one.
Okay, Cotton, we hear you. Cotton, we hear you. Okay.
You have to put your phone on mute.
Cotton, we hear you. Okay. All right. Carmen, are you there?
I'm here. I just, you know, when you say my ideals, it becomes so subjective, because I know what's right for me is not right for every other woman.
But we want to hear your perspective, what you think. It's about you right now. It's about you. We want to hear what you like in a relationship, a black love relationship. That's what we want.
Can I tell a story, a quick story? Cotton made me think of this. We were talking about, you know, how it is that, you know, do something for a man that he's never done before, and then how women have
become... Let me mute her, because she's... Okay, go ahead.
Entertaining. You know, we were talking about how women have become so jaded that we don't even want you to approach anymore. I was I had been out of town and was going to catch a plane and got caught in, like, a freak rainstorm. So I have to get on the plane with my clothes wet, my hair is wet, all I can do is pull it back in a ponytail. I'm sitting on the plane and it's cold, I'm miserable, cannot wait to just get off, get home and get a shower. And I'm standing in the airport waiting on my brown carousel, and this brother walks up to me, stands directly in front of me, looks me in my face, and he goes, "Oh, my God, you're beautiful." And I, you know, I said thank you, but my first thought was, really, you're not going to hit on me right now. Come on, I look like who did it and why, what the cat drove home. Please tell me you are not about to hit on me. But he simply said that and walked off, and I smiled the rest of the way home because it was just a genuine compliment. There was no expectation of whatever. He just simply complimented me, and at a time when I was feeling my worst. So
you think that's what men need to concentrate on is when they talk to their women?
Exactly. Let's have some sincerity. Let's just be sincere with each other. There was no game with him. There was no Enron. There was no, you know, you're beautiful now. Can I get your number and take you out? Or you're beautiful and I think I'm going to marry you. Because I've had guys say that to me. You just met me. How can you know that you're going to marry me? I could be great. The package might look great, but I could be the meanest evil witch in the world. And you're ready to marry me because of what I look like.
Right. Well, you know, I came up in a time when women didn't wear a lot of makeup and all that. You know, I grew up, and I'm going to tell my age, I guess, you know, in the 60s and 70s, growing up in school and everything, and women didn't wear a lot of makeup, you know, as we were coming up. And I think that's, you know, that shows the true side of them, you know, their true beauty. So when I do get with someone like my lady I'm with now, you know, a lot of times, you know, she wears makeup and stuff, but a lot of times I like to see her when she's in her you know, her normal, rarest form, because, you know, that right there is where you can see the true side of what she really is about. You know, it's not always about the outside thing that you put together, because, you know, like you said, that's temporal. If you plan on spending some time with someone, or maybe even possibly getting into a permanent relationship where you're married to them or whatever the case, you know, you want to see all aspects of that. And it's not going to be they're wearing makeup all the time, or they're looking a certain way, or even with men. You know, women seeing a man looking this way all the time or whatever. True love should be not just the outside appearance all the time. It should be every aspect of that person, if that's what you're really about. You should want to see that and want to, you know, if you can't deal with them without their weave or without something like that, then what is it? Are you really in love with them? Or are you in love with what they portray?
We can't even build a relationship if it's going to be based on strictly on what I look like. Like the music song says, you know, in a couple of years I can put on weight, and you want me to push out babies, well, that's going to add some pounds to the frame, you know? So it can't be based on simply about looks. Granted, I don't want a man who thinks I'm unattractive, and I don't want you to feel like you're slumming it when you're with me. But, okay, you think I'm pretty. That's great. That's good. That was kind of understood when you hit on me, you know? It can't be the central focus of our relationship.
Okay, DV.
What's up?
I know you got something to say, brother. Go ahead.
I mean,
you ever get your woo-saw moment?
Like she said, you know, everyone's version of black love is subjective. Mine is just, you know, sacrifice. And it has always been sacrifice, because that's all black people have ever been doing, you know, for the most part. So, I mean, if you're willing to sacrifice the things that that you ordinarily do, stop chasing tails, stop, you know, focus on things that are completely irrelevant, you know, for that one person, you're willing to do it and compromise, then, you know, that's love. Love is sacrifice.
That's the next word I was going to use, compromise. How much should we compromise? Cotton, are you there?
I'm here.
I mean,
how much
you can
is compromise involved? Yeah,
if you can compromise the worst, I mean, if you can compromise, you know, the worst traits in you for somebody who makes you a better person, you know, and you can continue on that path where you guys, you know, you guys are succeeding in making each other better people, then that's love. You know, I'm not going to call it black love, white love, Asian love. That matters. Love is love. You know,
okay, so let me ask you this. How much is too much compromising?
When you lose yourself in being the person that, you know, the other person wants you to be. Once, you know, you lose that sense of self.
Okay, yeah, give me a male sample and then give me a female.
I want to get a female version of it. That's not
compromise
anymore. That's just
complete
submission.
Now you've just given the other person control of your entire life.
Right, that's just defeat. You've been defeated.
Yeah exactly.
Okay, so give an example of what would be that situation. because a lot of people don't know that they're in that. So let's give the listeners some type of example of that.
Anytime where, you know, you allow a man to put his hands on you when, you know, we from time we kids, we didn't understand why people did it. Well, I would never let, you know, no dude put his hands on me. And then you let him do it. Then you've compromised. You've done more than compromise. You've been defeated. Everything that you hold dear, your core truths have been compromised. And when that happens, the core things that you believe, once they're compromised, then you're not in a relationship anymore. You're basically somebody's subject.
But you know, when it comes to abuse,
that's a good example.
We always talk about the physical violence.
That's why I want to get away from it. It's the easiest.
Well, right.
But it doesn't matter if it's physical. It doesn't matter if it's emotional. If you allow men to talk down.
Before it gets to the physical, women seem to be ignoring the other side. A man who calls you out of your name because you're mad at me doesn't make me a B. I-T-C-O, you said I could say the word. But yeah, because you're mad at me.
You can say bitch, for instance.
Right. Because mad at me doesn't make me a bitch. Even if I did something bitchy, it seems to me if you cared about me, you'd be able to find another way to say it. You could say to me, you know, Carmen, I don't like who you're being right now. Fine. But if it's always, oh, Carmen, you a bitch, or Carmen, you a slut, if he's got to call you out your name because he doesn't like something you did, to me that's a problem. That's a sign that he's headed toward something.
But see, but you know something?
What about all these core beliefs?
If you believe that no one should call you out of your name and you allow it to happen, then you have compromised your core beliefs, in which case it's not a relationship.
That's what I was going to say. Now, getting into the compromise, these are red flags that we're seeing in the beginning, because I know that's why people date. A lot of times people jump into shit so quick without actually dating that person to find out what it's about. They want to live with them and all this. But the thing is, you want to find out about people. See, that's why you date and you go out and you do things. So people put these faces up, these masks up for quite some time, and it takes a while, you know, before they actually bring them down. And then they get into a situation where they get comfortable with you, and that's when you start seeing things. So, but all along, when you're in this, people see red flags, but they ignore them because they want to get with this person really bad or whatever. So
we don't date anymore. And that's another problem.
Right.
Our parents dated. We don't date anymore.
Okay, so what are we doing? We're just jumping in the fucking bed and we're just fucking and we're just.
Well, I mean, right.
By the time we get into a relationship, it's not a relationship. We're through. We're done with it. We didn't fuck enough. We're tired of them. So it never. You're right. There is no dating.
They don't date anymore. Somebody wants to pick you up and take you out to dinner and just let's have dinner and talk and watch a movie and then let me take you home and leave you there. You know, they call it hanging out, but hanging out ends at his apartment, but yet he still doesn't have to say I'm monogamous with you. We don't date anymore. We need to go back to dating. Just let's get to know
Y'all don't sit around and just cuddle and just kind of talk and stuff? I do that. It ain't always fucking, is it?
No, because you can't let them pass the door to be able to do that. Like some of the guys that are trying to talk to me, they can't even make it past phone. So we're definitely not going out on a
date. Who are you fucking with? But who are you talking to? God damn.
You know, believe it or not,
she is in Cali.
I've gotten more respect from younger people, that the younger the guys that are trying to hit on me, than the older men, which is
because
really
do tell. So you think the older man does not know the game?
Sometimes older men have been doing this same thing for so long that they think it's still okay, and it's not. Like it really isn't. And to me, dating is important. You know, like call me up and ask me, do I want to go out every now and then? We can go for coffee. Go to the park.
So you saying that older men don't want to date the younger guys that now have the chivalry and all that?
It's not the age. It's not the factor, and it should be, because you think an older man would have more game or would understand that dating is important to a woman, opposed to a younger person saying, you know, I'd like to take you out. I'm like, damn, you how old and you want to do what? Oh.
That sounds like California or something. It must be California.
Yeah.
Killer Cali.
It is.
Okay.
It really is California. I'm trying to move out. It's California.
Bring your ass back to Kansas City. Shit. Anyway. okay, but
wait, I'm under the impression it's all of
so you
America.
You in Atlanta, right?
Less than Kansas City.
Carmen,
yeah.
You in Atlanta.
Uh-huh.
Carmen, you in Atlanta, right? So
yeah.
what is it like down there? I mean, because you know you have more. Of course, there's more. Well, the rumor
right.
is more gay.
Right. I was
going
to say, yeah. Come
but,
on now, you get it.
But
get it.
Okay, it's more faggot than shit
here.
Down there. Okay, we got more of that going on. So what when you do find somebody that's serious that's not gay and not on the down low and all that shit and they're I mean, are you having that issue down there with the younger guys are more better to date than older guys?
I don't know if they're better to date, but I certainly do. They certainly are learning to be. Younger guys are being a lot more respectful. And they come to you, and it's funny because, I mean, that we should have this conversation not too long ago, less than a week or so ago, this guy kept trying to hit on me, and he's 27, and I am not. I am over 30. I'm like, and I'm looking at him.
I am not.
You can't take me home. Your mom is gonna be like, "Why is this old woman messing with my baby?" And he's like, no. My mother knows, you know, blah blah, and this and other. I'm like, I can't see myself taking somebody.
You know what,
27,
Carmen?
But
you,
they come
you know
strong.
What, Carmen,
I'm with her.
You know what, Carmen? If Demi Moore can do it, then we all can do it, okay?
Well, you see how that's ending for her.
Well, yeah, I was going to say, you see how that turned out, though. But
yeah,
in the meantime.
Yeah, you see how it's going for her, so. No, okay.
Wow.
I was saying, though, I think that the younger guys are coming across with a much more mature approach.
They really are.
With the I'm looking for a relationship, you know, I'm looking for my future wife, I'm tired of the game. You're like,
it's
you're
not
tired of the
that.
Game, you're just 27.
But that game's what he's telling you, though. He's tired of the game and all this shit.
But it's like this, because when I was younger, I used to try to get on with older women. And the easiest way to get on with an older woman is to show her respect, that, you know, that you're more mature than your age leads you to, you know, lead them to believe. I mean, because you know what? In our minds, especially in guys' minds, you know, we think that older women are worthy of a higher plane of respect until we get to draws, in which case, you know, then, you know, that's kind of thrown out the door.
All bet dogs. We back to square one.
Right.
Well,
you
see,
know,
I ain't even going to lie. I got a marriage proposal from one of them younger ones. So
y'all just saying that older men like me, because I'm that in that category y'all dogging right now.
Nobody's talking about you, man. You're unique, right?
All evening. I got it, but still, I mean, I'm a man that... Okay, all right, I'll take that.
And you have a woman, so apparently that's
why you keep saying that? Why you keep saying that shit? I mean, goddamn.
It's not saying it.
Okay, I'm...
It's a reminder.
Letting everybody know out in radio land that Red Snapper is not on the market. Okay, I got it.
Well, because one day I'm going to meet your current girlfriend, and I don't want her mad at me because she heard me say trying to hook you up. No, I know... that you got a woman. So I'm going to keep throwing that out there so she knows that you have much respect for her.
She know not to
well,
cut cotton. She like, I got
okay.
No.
Well, for the record, everybody must know, yes, I do have a lady. So. But, you know, I mean, I'm just talking in general for older guys. You know, it sounds to me like these older men are really just fucking shit up out there because they think they can just jump. I'm going to tell you why, though. I'm going to tell you why this is the way it is. To be truthful with you, I'm going to tell you why it's like that. A lot of these guys, the older they get, the more they get tired of the game that's out there that a lot of young women are throwing. So they just be like, look, I'm just going to go ahead and just look. Let's just go, just do what we want to do here. I'll just give you this. I'll give you this money. I'll pay this bill. And just fuck it. And we'll just go ahead and have some sex or whatever. And that's it. That's the reason why they're that way.
But then again, you said young women. They're not dealing with young women. They're dealing with young girls still. Because just because you passed 30 don't make you a woman. Just because you got kids don't make you a woman. If you still got a girl mentality and you don't know how to deal with a man, then you still at girl level.
And if you think that it's appropriate for you to have a man pay a bill in your house and so you sleep with him for that, then you definitely have a girl mentality because you are basically a
yeah.
prostitute.
Definitely.
Definitely.
And him as a man shouldn't want to be dealing with somebody like that.
Exactly. I mean, other people are getting it for free. So why are you having to pay for it? What's wrong with
right.
you?
You know,
I'm glad you brought that up.
You know what?
You brought that up.
There are people who pay for it directly and people who pay for it indirectly. There are some people who just
I'm glad you said that. I'm glad you said it because that was my next subject. You know, a lot of people think that they're not buying pussy because they're out here taking a woman out, or they're doing this and that and everything, or even if you're married to someone. To me, my philosophy is you're paying for it either way it goes, because, yes, it's true. A lot
Why
of people don't want to
do
that.
That? So then,
okay,
well,
because
your,
it's true.
So then,
it's true.
But no, but so
it's
then,
not a
So then, if your woman is at home washing your clothes and cooking your meals and making sure that you've got,
she's paying for you. I don't have that. I don't have a woman doing that for me. I don't have no woman doing that shit for me.
I'm with Cotton because she said earlier, you know, it's okay for a woman to take a man out. Now, if I'm in a relationship with a man, I don't think he should have to pay for dinner every time we go out. If we're going out frequently, then that's not fair. So, yes, I'm going to pick up the bill a couple times. Does that mean I'm paying for it? Or are we in a relationship? That's what a relationship is. We're taking care of each other.
So you don't think that taking you out is paying for it? That's what you're saying?
No. If you feel like you're
spending time with you,
you shouldn't be doing it. If you feel like you're paying for it, so to speak, then you shouldn't be doing it, because that means you're not doing it out of love for me, period. Don't do it.
Let me say this.
You can't love somebody that you don't know.
But look, you
are
so offended.
He just said even in a marriage. So that's my thing. Red said even in a marriage.
You all were so offended when she made the first statement about feeling like all men want that and to get it. And so you just said that, you know, women shouldn't be thinking that all men want is sex. But now you said spending time with you is like putting a down payment on the pussy.
No, but let me say this because your ladies are taking it into another realm. But let me say this, okay? Maybe the way I brought it to you was not the right way to do it. But I'm just trying to tell you what a lot of older men are thinking. They're thinking this because most of these older men that are out here fucking around doing this shit probably have a wife at home. They probably have something already at the house, so they just want to do something on the side and just have a little fun. Instead of going through all the game and talking and trying to wind and dine this person, they just come straight out with it and say, look, this is what we want to do. Now, I can take care of this for you. I can do that. It's sugar daddy, I guess, if you want to call it that. But they do these things, and they do it, and they just want to pay and keep going. That's what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about just a regular relationship. You at home and somebody's washing your clothes and all this shit. I'm not talking about that.
You bring up another subject that irks the hell out of me, and I'm sure Cotton can co-sign with me on this. I'm so tired of being hit on by married men.
Let's talk about that.
Yeah, what makes you think I want to play second fiddle to some chick I don't even know?
Well, you know, that's right. And Cotton, I want you to comment on that.
What?
You know, I mean, she was talking about getting hit on by married men.
Oh, my gosh.
I
mean,
let's go. I know you got one.
I'm like, are you serious?
It's like they don't care about the fact that you've gotten into this bind with God. Set aside the fact that you've taken vows to your wife. What about the vow that you made to God that you would take care of this woman and you would do this and do that or whatever? You know, I don't really understand it. But I've been hit on by, like Ms. Carmen said, I've been hit on a lot by a lot of married men, and I became so agitated that every now and then you'll see me throw a thing on my face that says, adultery is not an option. Adultery is not an option. And because you're not happy in your marriage, if you're that unhappy, then get out.
Get out?
I don't care if it's man or woman. Get out if you're that unhappy. Let the person go before you decide that you want to cause more pain in their poor little heart or in your own life because you're holding on for what reason? What reason are you holding on?
Because
all that is good.
All that is good
to have
one is good. And cheaper to keep her and all that. But let me tell you something. I'm talking about, let's go into a relationship. Let's take it even further. How about a relationship where you sit down and put it all on the table, the woman that's fucking with you knows you're married, and they saying they want to do all this because they want to be in that kind of situation. So what is that then?
That means why would you as a man want that kind of woman? Because nine times out
because
of ten,
you
you're
out
not
here,
the
you,
only. Because nine times out of ten, you're not the only one. If she's single and she's okay with sleeping around with you, and you knowing you got a wife, and blah blah blah, and you sat down and said, okay, I got a wife, but let's still do this. What does that say about her as a woman? And why would you want to be associated with that kind of woman?
Well, you're looking at
you
trying to take this person into a relationship further than that.
For 15 minutes of pleasure? For 15 minutes of pleasure?
But Cotton, you try to make it sound like this dude is going to just be with this woman forever and shit. This is just some secret shit that they doing for a little while, and then they moving on. She may not want, it's not right. Listen, it's not right, but she may not want to leave her man. It could be reasons for money, monetary reasons. They don't want to get a divorce because of all the things that they'll lose monetarily because people are that shallow. They just might want to just do some shit for a little bit and then keep going. You know, I mean, it's not right, but that's what they're doing.
Let me sum it up like this. One moment of sin is not worth a bigger blessing, is it? Really?
No, I'm not saying that it's right. I'm just telling you.
That's my point. I understand all of that. I know women who say, I prefer to be in a relationship with a man who's got a woman already because they don't want to do the work that a wife has to do.
Okay,
what
if the man don't have nobody and it's just you and him and y'all ain't married and you fucking? Is that a sin?
Of course that's a sin.
Is it? I don't know, because the Bible doesn't say it is.
It does talk
but
about
fornication. But we're not going biblical. We're not going biblical.
It does talk about fornication. But okay, but it's not one of the
Ten
Commandments.
It's not one of the Ten Commandments.
Adultery,
you're right.
Is one of the Ten Commandments.
Right. But there
so
is
you,
also
you,
in
you
there.
Gotta
I,
choose,
if I'm not mistaken,
you got to choose your battle. You got to be willing. You got to be willing to accept what's going to happen to you for breaking that law.
But let's
see,
go
guess,
here though.
You know, I see it as a
y'all ain't letting me
the woman
go. Okay,
having,
cool.
Some,
I got it.
But I see it as a woman having serious self-esteem issues. What is wrong with you that you don't think that you deserve one whole man to yourself? You got to have half man that you share with somebody else. I mean, he's not even half.
Maybe they don't want a man. Maybe they just want the dick. You
then
know what I mean? It's
deal,
possible.
Though.
That's all they want.
Find a deal, though.
They don't
want
an animate object. They want a real life
find
throbbing
a single
dick.
Man. Find a single man for that. Is
they don't want the issues
that
come with a single man. They don't want the issues that come with a single man. They don't want to be married. They don't want him telling them that.
Hold on. There are plenty of men out there that if you tell them that are single, that if you say, you know what, I just need you to come over and dick me down every now and then, can you do that? And he's not going to, you think he's going to say no? He'll be glad to do that because he don't want the ties either. Please. I know
there's
many that will.
Section, there's a whole section of Craigslist of men she can buy.
Send
him away once
you're
done.
He
don't belong to nobody else. So,
man.
Wow.
The whole section of Craigslist. You know,
DV. What's up? They
oh
just went crazy
God.
Tonight
okay.
on the show. They,
okay.
they just taking, they just doing their thing.
Girl,
y'all need
I'll
to call
I'll,
in 347-215-8539. This is Word Sexy Radio. And Miss Cotton is in rare form this evening because she is just going off on me
God.
And just dogging me and
Carmen.
Shit. And just
Carmen, that was
telling
great.
Me I'm
that
fucked
was,
up.
Girl,
and,
that was great. That was great, Carmen.
And
like
they're not
that.
Even acting like we're here anymore. I mean, you know the conversation's good when they're ignoring the host of the show.
Oh
they just talking
God.
To each other.
Carmen. I'm
uh-huh.
giving you a high five on that, girl.
High five. It's like, I don't want to hear
see?
It. I don't want to hear it.
There you go. So there's no
and
excuse for
main
there's
one
no excuse.
Right. So they'll be the main one. This could be the woman who gets into a relationship or gets married, and then the man cheats on her, and she throws the whole hissy fit drama, woe is me, I can't believe, blah, blah, blah. But you forgot about the truth back today.
Okay, all right, I understand all what y'all saying, and I'm not disagreeing with what y'all saying, but the thing is,
okay.
everybody does shit for whatever reasons, but you can't be judging motherfuckers because of why they're doing it. One sin is no better than the other sin, okay?
It's not my position to judge you. I'm just telling you what it is. It's not
I'm
my
not
position
saying,
to judge you. Cotton, that's
did
between
I, Cotton,
you and
Cotton,
Jesus.
Cotton, did I say you?
No,
God
I'm
damn,
saying,
she's,
I'm just saying,
she's in rare form tonight.
No, I'm saying you as in general. You, there's nobody judging you. That's between you and Jesus at the end of the day.
Well, I know Paul said it's better to fucking come in a goddamn woman, and I'm saying it in my words, than to come on the ground. So,
I
you know.
Don't say. I know he did
that. And it might have been like that when he said it. Hell, they changed it so damn much. We don't know shit. Anyway, we want you to call in, though. We got 3 minutes left. The number is 347-215-8539. It's the Word Sexy Radio, Grown Folks Radio, and we talk about all kinds of shit, as you hear. And we got Carmen the Book Diva Jones here, along with Miss Cotton, bookworm poet, who is going the fuck off on me. I didn't say it right, did I? And she's going the fuck off on me tonight, and DB is letting her do it. He ain't even helping me. What the fuck?
Man, what are you talking about? Like, I just called back in. That wasn't me. Somebody get
your help, man.
Somebody get
She's just going crazy on me tonight, man.
I haven't even said anything about Red except that he got a woman.
Look,
Dee
is playing a new
woman. Well, hell, they don't even know. I mean, it's not that it's a secret, but goddamn. Shit, anyway, it's cool. I do have a woman, but, you know, it's fine. But you was trying to make like when I didn't have a woman, oh, what was me and shit? I guess I was acting like that. But
no,
anyway,
no. That wasn't, you know, that's not what I said. What I said was is that the women that were trying to go out with you or that you were trying to date were looking at you like you were just some sex-crazed person who only wanted them for sexual pleasure. That's what
right,
I said.
Right, there you go. Okay, there you go.
And that's not the truth because I know that you're a relationship kind of person. So the topic was is that women are just as bad in that area when it comes to the sexual because that's all they're thinking about. That's all they're thinking you want. But when you're trying to approach
really?
Them like a real man, when you're trying to approach them like a real man, they don't
know
how to deal
with it. And I'm glad you said that because. I'm glad you said it because this is a segue into what we need to talk about right now real quick. We got about, let's see, how much time do we have left? We got 32 minutes. We got 32 minutes, and I'm glad you said it because why do women always say they want a good man, and then when a good man drops in their lap, they don't want him because he ain't what they want. He's not dogging him like the last man. Why does that happen? Y'all need to call in 347-215-8539 so we can hear what you got to say on that subject. So answer that one for me.
See, that's why I never make the blanket statement that I want a good man. Because every man
make the blanket
is not the man for me. So I always say I want the right man for me. I mean, you might be a good man in that you go to church and you pay your tithes and you're a good person and blah, blah, blah. But if we don't have a connection, if we don't have things that we can talk about and have in common and in common ground, then it's just not going to work. That doesn't mean you're not a good man. It just means you're not the good man for her.
Yeah, just like Ms. Carmen just said, just because you are a good man don't mean you're the good man for her. That means she did you a favor by acting the way that she does so that you know that she's not the one for you. Because
okay,
I hear a lot of people say, well, he's not a good man. Yeah, he is a good man. He wasn't born a bad man. He is a good man. He's just not a good man for you.
The next woman
he gets with, he'll probably be good to her because that's the woman he wanted to be with.
But listen, give me an example here. Let me give you an example. The man, a lot of these women say they want a man that's going to treat them right, take them out, do things for them, you know, do this courting or dating like they're talking about and not trying to hurt them, get them in the bed and everything. Sometimes women get this, and then they say the man's too damn weak, and what's wrong with his ass? He ain't treating me like this last motherfucker did or whatever. What the hell is that?
You're not the woman. You're not the man for her. That's all that means. I wouldn't take it personal. I wouldn't even think nothing of it. Oh, well, yeah, I'm not the one for you.
You need to elaborate on you're not the man for her. Why is she saying that?
Because every woman is a man for you. You got the woman that's meant for you. Every woman isn't meant for you, and she's doing you a favor when she acts a certain way because it lets you know who she really is and that she doesn't really want what you have to offer. Because a lot of women will say, I want a good man, okay, and I want this and I want that. But there's something else that he's lacking that she can't put her finger on it. That's why then she goes off.
Oh,
and says,
so
whatever.
She's confused. There's
she's
the word
confused.
I'm looking for. She's fucking confused. She's fucking confused. She don't know what the fuck she wants.
Some women don't know what they want, but I wouldn't even say it's so much of a confusion as is if she didn't look at all the aspects of what a good man was for her. Because DV could be a really, I know, Red, DV could be a really good man for another woman, but he might not be a good man for me. He may be a good man all around, but there may be something that he might be lacking that I'm not attracted to, which makes me pull back and say, yeah, this won't work.
Or vice versa. Maybe something
yeah, vice
about
versa.
Her that,
right,
you know,
exactly.
But see,
well, I understand all that, but I just get tired of hearing women say all this shit, and then they turn around, no fucking man is good for them, because they don't know what the fuck they want.
Well, you, I mean, yeah, like I said,
and then as soon as this roughneck come up and start beating her ass and shit, she's in love with this motherfucker. Oh, I want him, because that's the one that was
getting
away from the last one.
At that point, she can't get away.
That's a sign. That was a
and that's going to the compromise you were talking about earlier.
No, at that point, she can't get away from that dude. It's not about she wants him, she can't get away.
No. Come on, y'all. Is it really like that? Come on now.
Like I'm one of those people that this. You know, they you know, remember that they were passing around Facebook for a long time. There's a friend for a reason, a season, a lifetime. There are people that you get with so that they can teach you more about yourself. There are people that are with you simply because, you know, they're good for that situation. There are people that are with you for the rest of your life. So, I mean, not everybody that you run into is going to be that lifetime partner. So people, and I say this about women, they need to stop treating every dude like he's supposed to be that lifetime partner. You know, walk into a relationship tentatively. Don't throw your heart in the ring, and then when he throw it back at you, get an attitude. It's just one of those life experiences that you need to deal with. You know, so, and it goes vice versa. Not, you know, and for us, you know, we can't hold on to somebody who don't want to be with us. I mean, that's kind of...
Right.
It's better that they walk away and like, look, I can't be with you. Then we end up 20
right.
years together and find out we can't stand each other. You done wasted
exactly.
20 years of my life.
Exactly. I would rather you tell me that, you know, this isn't, no matter how badly it's going to hurt me, tell me now so I don't waste my time with you or you waste your time with me because I don't want to let go or you don't want to hurt my feelings. Let me know that I'm not working out for you.
You know,
so that
we
can move on.
I was
we call
say,
ourselves
what
adults,
happens, though,
but we don't want to do the adult thing. And the adult thing is letting people know, like, look, I cherish you, I appreciate you, you're just not the one for me. That would
right.
be the adult thing to do. The child
exactly.
thing to do is stick around and hope everything works itself out.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm getting out of the way so that the right woman for you, you'll be single and available
right.
when it becomes a mom.
And that's
why would y'all have told
know,
me that shit 3 marriages ago?
You,
God damn it, shit.
Live and learn, baby. What Ms. Carmen said,
you didn't
that's
hear
how
that,
you
did.
Know, that's how you know if a person truly loves you. If they're okay, if they can let you go and say, hey, I want you to be happy with somebody else because apparently it's not with me, that's how you know a person truly cares and truly loves you for who you are because they're
that's
not trying to stand in your way of happiness.
I won't say
right.
that's a person who loves you, but that's a person who understands who you are more than you understand.
Well, they may not be in love with you, but they got to love you at some point to just let you go.
No, what I'm saying is if a woman can step back and or a man can step back and say, I'm not the person that's going to make you happy, they know you better than you know yourself.
Right.
You know, and it's at that point where you need to kind of take heed to what they're telling you.
I want to go back to this.
Go ahead,
this,
Carmen.
Of a good man. Because it always bothers me when I hear women say, well, I want a good man. I mean, you know, somebody who treats me right or somebody who, you know, does this for me or whatever, whatever. Why is that a good man? That's just a man. You know what I mean? To me, that's a sign of a man. I wouldn't date a man who didn't do nice things for me. But there was a guy a couple of years ago. I was at a friend's birthday party at this club, and we're getting ready to leave, and this guy walks up and is like, can I take a picture with you, please? He's like, I've been trying to get up the nerve all night to ask you to take a picture with me. But so I was kind of crazy, because I'm like, oh, you had to get up the nerve to ask me to take a picture.
Oh, man, stop. Men can be shy.
Okay, well, I agreed to take the picture. So I took the picture, and he's like, well, is there a way that I can email it to you or whatever? So I made the mistake of giving him my business card, thinking, you know, I didn't want to hurt his feelings by going, I really don't care about the picture. But, you know, so I give him my business card, and what happens is the next week, flowers come to the office. Then he starts calling my secretary, and he's leaving me these very strange messages.
Whoa! Did you just say my secretary? I'm in love. No, I'm joking. Go ahead.
She got an office. Shit, I'm glad that she got a motherfucking office. Hell, I'm. Shit, can I get it with you? No, just, hey, go ahead.
Go ahead.
Messages, I'm getting flowers at the office, you know, blah, blah, blah. Long story short, he finally somehow gets a hold of my cell phone number, so he calls me. After like two times of him calling, I'm finally like, listen, I don't know.
Is anybody washing dishes?
I like, that's me. I'm starting on Thanksgiving dinner.
Oh, man, come on, man. Kind of tell people how they can get in contact with them, especially Carmen, how they can get her books, and if they want her to do a book signing and all that stuff, how they can get in contact with her so that they can be able to do that. And you want to do that now, Carmen? You want to go ahead and put your information out, and I'm going to give Cotton and Dee a chance as well.
Sure. You can reach me by email at trashybookdiva@hotmail.com. I have a website, www.trashybookdiva.com. And there's a link to my book on the website, and you can also buy the book off Amazon.com. And I'm also working on a new project that's not for the adults, but I want adults to know about it because it's for the next generation coming up behind us, the children coming up behind us. It's going to be children's books which teach children Black history, which I think is something that we need to know because you can't know your future.
You're severely lacking in that area.
Yeah, you can't. And I mean, I consider myself a pretty well-read person, but I am amazed at some of the information that I'm finding out, stories that we don't know. You know, we hear about Henry Ford all the time. Have you heard of C.R. Patterson, who was a Black man who was running the same kind of auto manufacturing company at the same time as Henry Ford? His family was rich until the Great Depression hit. But that's somebody we don't know about. So we don't hear about it.
Right. Okay, well, that sounds like a good project that you got coming up, and we definitely want to support you, and we definitely want to have you back on the show as well. So, you know, just let us know, and whenever you have something good or a new book or something, you know, you can always come back to Word Section Radio. If you just want to call in and talk on the panel, you're welcome to do that as well, because I think that what we're going to do next year.
I've had a fun conversation. This is a great conversation.
Because what I want to do for next year, and I hope DV agrees, we're going to have this panel, and if it's us four, we can do that, and we can always have another guest come in, but we just want to continue to have the panel discussions of what we talk about because people love listening to that on the show, so that's what we want to keep doing. So, Ms. Cotton, tell us about you.
Well,
tell us about what you got going on.
Everybody knows I dated Red like 5 years ago.
I didn't know.
I'm just kidding. I just thought I'd blast him one more time since he said I was giving him shit earlier. But
yeah.
No, we never dated.
We dated in our minds.
We never did.
In our minds.
No,
yeah.
Oh my gosh. Anyway, I have 5 books out right now. I do write poetry. I am a soft-spoken poet. I also perform. So you can find me on Facebook. Right now my website is down. I'm creating a new one. I'm performing. I have a show coming up December the 11th here in Sacramento. GP and I will be doing another series of that show in Kansas called Summer Love. This one here in Sacramento will be called Winter Love. Definitely find me on Amazon. My books, keyword is Cotton. The Love Letter is the last book I put out. I will be putting my next book out January 3rd.
Okay. DV.
Okay, well, I am D, period, V, period, Hent, H-E-N-T. I'm currently the author of 2 erotic novels, If You Don't Tell Them Valentine, and my 3rd novel is an anthology with 11 other artists. It is called Untapped. It is a series of erotic shorts, and it's probably going to be out before Christmas. You can find me and, you know, keep up with me at both of my websites, nipressbooks.com and naughtyinkpress.com, along with the help of my wonderful, wonderful assistant, Melody.
Well, co-partner. Should I say assistant? She may just gut me. But, you know, currently you can find me where all books are sold, Amazon, Kindle, pretty much everywhere. If there's a place selling books, you can find my novels there. And, of course, you know, I harass Red relentlessly on this show every Monday. So, you know, also, you know, the word on the street. Red, you're going to put that out there, right? The word on the street.
Yeah, but you can go ahead and say it. You can go ahead.
All right. There is an award show for the Word on the Streets for best talk show. And, you know, we strive for perfection, Ray and myself. So we would love and appreciate anyone out there to throw our name in the hat. I did so. Ray better have.
I did.
I am logging on as we speak to cast my vote.
Yeah, wordonthestreets.com, please. And we're trying to get best radio show. And I think our show is because we try to keep it as open as possible to you, the guests, and to those that are listening that want to call in with their questions. We do that. And I think it's more important that with the segments that we hold and how we do it, that we just don't have questions that's already made for you. So, yeah, we do that. And also, go ahead.
I have a request.
Uh-huh.
No, I will not have sex with you. Yes, I'm lying.
Okay, what's your request?
Oh, my gosh. Well, now I don't even know if I should say my request.
Wait,
my request is...
You didn't even have to go to Craigslist.
I know, right?
Damn.
Oh, my God. My request was or is to maybe next time we can interview DV.
Yeah, why don't we do that? We'll interview him next week along with the other guests.
That'll be after
Thanksgiving. We'll be then ate a good meal and everything, and we can come back and roast his ass. Okay, but let me say this.
Oh, you feel mad about what we did to you? That was a good one.
That's not a problem, but that's okay. But she mentioned Summer Love, and what we're trying to do is we're going to be coming up with the Kansas City Book Fest, which is we're going to be trying to do June 22nd to the 24th of 2012. And I'm going to be putting information out, hopefully, beginning of the year. Authors that are out there, I'm going to be getting 50 authors to come in, and the tables are going to be $150. So we're going to get you to come to Kansas City, and we're going to have 3 days of fun where you get to sell your books, and we're going to have a party and hopefully maybe do some things where you can get to meet some of your people and get the Midwest involved with things, because we read here in the Midwest, and we just want to do that. And of course, that Friday night is going to be the Summerfest poetry event. So we're going to be working on that and give you more information as we go forth in coming shows. That's going to be June 22nd to the 24th. I still have to get a venue, but we're going to get all that information out. And it's going to be hosted by Independent Authors and Poets Guild that I just started last week, and also part of Midwest Publishing Group. And we're also looking for other companies that might want to help endorse this. We want to get this thing out there. It's kind of the forum that we want to have with this is to be like the Harlem Book Fair. So we're going to try to do that in a Kansas City version in the Midwest. So we want to bring authors in. You don't have to be from the Midwest. We want you to be independent, or if you're a mainstream author and you're out there and you want to come, we welcome you as well. We just want to do this because we want to put Kansas City on the map, not just for only KC Book Club, KC Girlfriend's Book Club, but for other things that we have here in Kansas City. We want to do that. So $150 a table is very cheap compared to some other places you go for $275 or more. And also, getting back to the Word on the Streets, they're going to be having that coming up next year as well. I think that's going to be in May, if I'm not mistaken. So hopefully you can put that vote in for us. Nominations are going in right now, and the voting is not happening yet. But we would like, if you could, put Word Sexy Radio. You just log in to wordonthestreet.com, and there's a form that you nominate who you want for different items. And also, you can nominate for a best author or a best poet or whatever you want. All those categories are there, so you can do that as well. So we hope that the listeners will get out there, and authors as well, and everybody, and put that in. And, you know, we want that because I think all of us have a chance to get some recognition. We want to get that as well. So we got 14 minutes left, and Carmen, is there anything else you want to say or anything that you would like to put out before we go any further into the rest of the show that you might want to say or, you know, about what you think or some things that's going on with you that you didn't say before?
Also, I think I forgot to mention the website for the children's series. It's going to be called TheRootKillers.com.
Uh-huh.
And it's actually launching next Tuesday. I'll do it after. I'll do it after we roast ZV. That way, it'll be all up there. But,
so that means you're going to be calling back in next week then. Good.
Oh, of course.
Okay,
website,
well, we definitely want you to come back.
Yeah, the website is just going to host a whole bunch of short history, black history stories, so that you can get your children on there and they can start reading it and learning more about where we come from.
Okay, and also for this thing that we're doing, the Kansas City Book Fest or Book Fair or Festival, Ms. Cotton is going to be putting together some items to be raffled as well. Can you want to kind of speak on that a little bit, Ms. Cotton?
I'm sorry, say that again?
The raffle that you're going to be doing for the poet deal that we're having with the Kansas City Book Fest.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted you to kind of speak a little bit on, you're putting together some things to be raffled. Is there some things that you might need?
Yeah, I'm going to be putting together, like, some book baskets with different authors' books. And I had, before, some really good authors sent me their books, and I raffled them off at another show that I had, which turned out to be really, really great. So I'm going to attempt to get more authors' books that aren't as well-known to try to get their information and their books out there so that other people, you know, can kind of know who they are. So, yeah.
What about some black history?
We got music now in the background. Oh, what is that going on?
What'd you say,
Carl? All right.
I said, what about some black hair products? I think I forgot to mention I make my own line of hair care products.
Well, why don't you mention that? Why don't you mention that real quick? We got about 12 minutes. Go ahead and mention that as well.
Oh, yeah, that's my other passion. So gladly, I have a product line called Deeply Rooted Beauty. You can find it on the web at www.deeplyrootedbeauty.com. Started a couple of years ago. I was diagnosed with lupus, and my hair started coming out and straying.
Wow. Oh my God! It's amazing that you said that.
What I thought was, you know, it's bad enough to be sick, and I can't do anything about being sick, but I'm not going to be bald. Like,
let me tell you something. Let me tell you something. My girlfriend has lupus. She has it in the brain. So I know what you're dealing with.
Yeah, but what happened was, and so I started going to... I was already going to the hairdresser, like, every week, but I was, like, you know, really thinking that she could fix it for me. And she kept saying, well, you know, there's no cure for this. There's no anything that we can do. I tried everything. I spent hundreds of dollars on expensive hair products. And then finally I thought, you know, I'm a smart girl. And I started to do the research and found out that a big reason why black women always complain about our hair won't grow longer than shoulder length is because we buy these commercial products. They market it to us. They sell them to us. But they are not made for our hair. They are made with products that are bad for our hair. So my products are all natural. They are all handmade, and I went from having shoulder length hair, my hair is now waist length, and it took.
And I saw those pictures.
Over a year.
Wow, and that's not weed. Okay.
It's not weed. Yeah, and it's so funny because everywhere I go, black women want to weed check me.
Oh, my daughter was
She's
trying to get her hair to grow that long, so I'm definitely going to go on your site and check you out, Ms. Carter. Ms. Carter is kind of like Baby D. She do hair and write books and everything all at the same.
She's Baby D? Okay, all right.
She's like Baby D.
All right. Well, you know, hey, like
all.
I said.
She do it all. She do it all.
Well, that's all right. So, you know, I mean, like I said, the thing with the lupus, I understand that because, like I said, my lady has it, and, you know, she goes through this thing every day, and it's really bad. And I understand, you know, living with illness like that, it's very devastating and can, you know, it can mess up a relationship or anything if you let it. But, see, I care about her that way, that I'm with her, because it's not about what she's dealing with. And I try to help her as much as I can. See, that's where black love comes in, the real love that you were talking about. Being with somebody that can actually, you know, have something going on. Because a lot of people would say, I ain't fucking with that. I don't want to be with somebody that's sick. I want to be with somebody that's always, you know. But, you know, I don't look at it like that, because I'm into her because of her, not because of the sickness. See what I'm saying? So I don't let that get in the way. So I understand when she's tired and stuff, that she can't do things. That's fine. I know. So,
see, Red, you are one of the good men.
Yeah, well, okay.
Was there ever a doubt?
You know,
no,
he was
I didn't think so. Sometimes. But, you know, sometimes people do that. And also I want to give a shout-out to Miss Sherry Johnson. Sherry Johnson, today is her birthday. So she's, for those of you who may not know her, she's an author, and she's also famous for being
Family Matters.
Actress. She's Family Matters. She played Maxine on Family Matters, Punky Brewster, and all that. She's also a great friend of mine that comes on the show every now and then. So, Sherry, if you're listening, happy birthday. Hope you're having fun. Knowing you, you're probably out there getting fucked up right now. But anyway, I know, you know, it's your. I don't know how old you are now, but, hey, enjoy yourself. So, and she writes under J.M. Vindeman's label. She has a book out. She has a couple of books out, matter of fact. She's writing for under J.M. Vindeman's label, so but that's what's going on. So yeah,
I just want to make sure that you guys remember January 3rd. Put that on your calendar or in your Rolodex or whatever.
Oh yeah, January 3rd is Miss Cotton's birthday, so we have to make sure we remember that when she's on. Is that a Monday? Cause, so we can dog your ass on that day.
I'm not sure.
Let's look at the calendar real quick. I just happen to have a 2012 calendar in front of me. It's on a Tuesday. We're gonna get you on the second. That's okay. Your birthday is on a Wednesday.
Yes, please show me much love on that day.
Okay, so we got 8 minutes left, and we thank all of you guys for coming on. I'm not going to let you go yet, but I thank all of you guys for coming on the show. And Carmen, hopefully you felt comfortable. I wanted you to feel comfortable. I wanted you to feel like you're among friends, because you are. And that's why I purposely don't send out questions, although DB usually has questions that he does, but I didn't even ask him this week because he's been lacking on me with the damn questions. But
he's cooking.
You know,
he's cooking.
Yeah, he is cooking right now. But anyway, you know, we usually have questions that we ask about sexual positions and all that stuff, but we didn't do that this week. And I don't send out questions that I ask formal questions, because I like my show to be as raw as possible, so we don't do that. And that's another reason why Word Sexy Radio should be nominated as Best Radio Show for the Word on the Streets Awards. Hopefully we can get that done. So if you're out there listening, we hope you can do that for us. Go to wordonthestreet.com and put that in for us, and that's what we do. So if you all don't have anything else, you know, I'm not ready to let y'all go yet. We got about 7 minutes, though. I mean, I understand I got to let y'all go because y'all got another life. But, Carmen, would you be willing to come back, or would you be willing to come back next week?
Of course. I'm coming back next week. We're roasting DV. That's a done deal.
Okay, well, you come on DV, but get your ass ready, because they're going to be on your ass.
I'm not digging this idea.
So you're going to be one of the guests, and I got to figure out, I got to look at my schedule and see who we got coming next week as well, because we do have a schedule of people that are scheduled to be on the show. Let me look real fast before we get ready to get out of here.
I love this idea. I want to ask DV some questions, because I want to know more about who DV is.
All right, well, who is DV? You know, if you say it fast, it's Deviant. So, when you know, he tries to keep it as DV Hint, but it's really Deviant. As it's been pointed out to me. And y'all didn't pick that up before, but let's see.
I like that.
What do we got? We got Amani True next week. So, hey, guess what? Amani True is going to be on the show, and she's hard, boy. She's gonna fuck you up too, DB. So you might as well get ready.
She's coming on.
She's coming on next week, and we have a Miss Mona. I have to find out if she's coming on. I'm not going to say her name yet because I'm not sure if she's coming. But I know Amani's going to be here, so we're going to make sure we get that. So, DB, you better get your shit together, brother, because they're going to be on your ass.
I appreciate the threat. That motivates me.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. So we're going to have a two-hour segment next week, and we're going to make 1 hour a get DV ass. DV
ass. Miss Carmen, I want to say it was really great meeting you, Miss Carmen.
You too, Cotton. You too. And
I love having you on the show.
It was so much fun, and it's good to have you know, I'm glad you had my back, because they were trying to get at me, you know, at first. Like they didn't know what love was. But, yeah, you understood.
such a
okay.
Construct.
Well, you know, y'all talking shit now, but that's all right. We will continue this next week. So
hey,
all you out there listening, I want y'all to know.
We were talking shit throughout the whole hour and a half.
Well, we were. We were. And you was really in rare form. I ain't going to lie, Ms. Cotton, you had me fucked up for a minute. I was like, what the hell is you talking about? You know, she was just going off and shit. I was like, what the fuck's wrong with her? But anyway, that's okay. You can have one of those days. It's all right.
Thank you.
You know, it's okay. It's okay. It's okay. So y'all, hey, for y'all that like the show, and if you don't, please come back. If you don't like it, fuck you. But anyway, all right.
But we're going to go ahead and let y'all go. I'm going to go ahead with this song right here. And we're going to do this thing next time. So come on back to Word Sex Radio.
Thank you.